Welcome to the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. I'm Pastor Schulze. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for thy divine illumination on thy sacred word in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today, I want to speak on the subject of a prophet who spoiled the stew. I said the stew. There are always many prophets today who spoil the stew. It's always been so, it will always be so. One of the characteristics of such a prophet is that he uses any method, almost any means he can think of in order to draw attention to himself. For him, it is always more about him than anybody or anything else. So now let us look at a man who fits such a description. We get our text from 2 Kings chapter 4 of the Holy Bible, and let me read the story to you. Elisha returned to Gilgal, and there was a famine in that region. While the company of the prophets was meeting with him, he said to his servant, "Put on the large pot and cook some stew for these men." But then one of these prophets, or student prophets, went out into the fields to gather herbs and found a wild vine. He gathered some of it, some of its gourds, and filled his apron with them. When he returned, he cut them up into the pot of stew, though no one knew what they were. The stew was poured out for the men, but as they began to eat it, they cried out, "O men of God, there's death in the pot," and they could not eat it. Elisha said, "Get some flour." He put it into the pot and said, "Serve it to the people to eat," and there was nothing harmful in the pot. First notice that Elisha, the great prophet, ministered at a time of want. There was a famine in the land. This was a very common situation in those days. Elisha had a school of prophets. Let's call it a theological seminary, as Elijah, his predecessor, also had one. Unfortunately, most student prophets never graduate. They learn a few lessons, and then they become restless and get a sense of importance and spin off to become half-baked independent prophets. This was particularly obvious in the day of Elijah, for although Elijah had 50-some followers, he could not find a single prophet among them who qualified to receive his mantle. In other words, many start with good intentions, but few continue to the finish line. God looks for men who are willing to pay the price it takes to become nothing, so he can become everything in them. So the sons of the prophets were sitting before Elisha in a meeting. Does this remind you of Jesus with his disciples? So before the service began, Elisha had instructed his servant Gehazi to prepare a very simple meal. Elisha did not want a fancy meal. He only wanted one cook. He did not want any of the sons of the prophets in the kitchen, so as not to distract from the teaching session. Now, while the stew was simmering in the background, everyone's attention was fastened on Elisha, except that of one of those prophets. He was there without being there. While his master taught the things of God, he was thinking how he could rise up above the rest of his fellows, how he could improve his station, and finally he had an idea, and he slipped out of the service, and then he went into the woods to try to find some seasoning to make that stew taste a lot better. My friend, I want to ask you, have you ever noticed that many a believer likes to sit in the back pew near the exit? Watch out for those people who are there without being there. The back pews are often breeding grounds for malcontents who, like Absalom, steal the hearts of God's people. The minds of those in the back pews are easily distracted. Friend, unless you have business to sit in the back, plant yourself close to the messenger. Your help will be great for your pastor as you are near him, and you get more help yourself if you sit up front. So what took place here is this, that one of the prophets stepped out of the service, probably sitting in the back row, and then he would improve upon the meal, he thought. Perhaps he could improve upon the flavor or the nutrients and the aroma of the stew. My shame on all of us who think we can improve upon what God has said before us, that we can improve on the bread of heaven, on the water from the rock, that we can improve upon the old-time religion. Friend, beware of people who want to add something to what God decided is adequate and full of blessings. Beware of those who think they can improve upon that which the Holy Spirit does in a sanctuary of the Lord. God, through Moses, gave his people bread. Bread and nothing else, bread without the garlics and the onions of Egypt. Jesus gave them bread also. He said, I am the bread of life. The emphasis was on bread. He could have added vegetables and fruits, but Jesus stayed with the old-time religion, the bread of religion. But that was in the heart of this one false prophet, was the same as that which was in the hearts of the Israelites of old. They wanted something other than just bread. They wanted something more than what God chose for them to have. Remember, they wanted bread and quail. Please get this, quote, and, unquote, out of your religion. Let yours become an, quote, only, unquote, religion, an only bread religion. The supernatural bread came from heaven. It was supernatural. It came supernaturally. The quail brought garbage, beaks and intestines and claws and feathers which bred worms. Friend, never ask more than what God has for you. It may kill you. So what this man, this false prophet or careless prophet, put into the stew was about to kill everybody. My friend, the church is dying from the garbage of the world that has been added to the pure bread of heaven. It is full of beaks and intestines, claws and feathers of the world. Listen, only that which is the Holy Spirit, only that which is supernatural is good. We can only be fed by the Holy Spirit. Everything added makes us sick. Everything else will kill us in time. So, friend, do not look to Egypt, the world, for the way to improve your church service. Don't look for the natural. Only accept the supernatural. So this prophet wanted to improve the stew. He went away from where the anointing was. He went into the field of human choice, of self, the self-life. No one told him to go there. He gathered wild gourds. Then instead of tasting and testing what he gathered, he cut it up and put it into the pot. Are you getting a picture, my friend, of a false prophet? He's not satisfied with a simple gospel, the pure bread of heaven. He's not satisfied with a master's plan. He's not satisfied to remain at the master's feet. He wants to add something that does not belong. My friend, this man was not appointed to be a cook to start with, but self wants to do something different than what it is called to do. So this man, not under the authority of God's anointing, does something that was very dangerous. He was so occupied with himself, with self-promotion, that he forgets that the real needs of the others are in getting what God had provided without him adding anything to it. He becomes careless with what he does. He becomes reckless. He talks down the gospel. The stew of God is being incomplete, as not being, as some people saying, as not being a church's adequate. They not, must be more contemporary, have more of the things of the earth in it, in order to attract more people. Oh, my friend, let's stick with the good old stew, the old bread of heaven. What is Jesus trying to teach us here? After his resurrection, Jesus showed his disciples that the Old Testament is all about him. Therefore, this text is about Jesus. We see Elisha as a type of Christ who sets soul food before his disciples, but a self-absorbed prophet, a wolf in sheep's clothing, is about to kill everybody because he thinks that the original diet is no longer all that is needed. Many a false prophet will say, I sat under so-and-so's ministry, but the Lord let me out. The Lord gave me a greater revelation. No, my friend, these self-appointed crooks are under no one's authority. Jesus called these false prophets hirelings who leave the flock once they have exploited it. But thank God, as soon as all the prophets here in the story had their first taste of the, quote, improved, unquote, stew, they cried out, there's death in the pot. Praise God that they shared some of Elisha's spiritual discernment, and because of this acuteness, they lived to see another day. Oh, this is good news, my friend. You desperately need to stay close to the men of God, to your Elisha, to those who have an intimate relationship with Jesus, who can quickly smell, see, and sense when evil is near. And eventually, you, by the grace of God, will also come to this sensitivity yourself. So in a way, here, the stew represents the church. She was born clean and pure, but false prophets have corrupted her. They've added much which is not of the Spirit of the living God. They've helped make her a church of spots and wrinkles and blemishes. But praise God, Jesus is able to cleanse her. As Elisha threw flour into the pot of stew, there was no longer harm in it, and they all could eat and were well fed. So Jesus, by his precious blood, is able to make his church, his bride, white again, removing all spots and wrinkles and blemishes and such things. Praise his holy name. So, loved ones, be careful. What God has provided is adequate. You can't improve upon it. Feast on it and tell others to have a taste of it as well. Heavenly Father, we thank thee today for all those men and women of God who've gone before us throughout the centuries, who have had an intimate relationship with you, who shunned the things of the world, who have had a vision of the glorious, glistening, holy, white throne of God as their ultimate dwelling place, who have had a vision that they are called to be the spotless bride of Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who have had a vision to be a holy people, told us to pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It means that we ought to pray that we be holy and keep the name of God holy through our lives, through our lifestyles. So, precious Jesus, we pray that we will be a satisfied people, and that we will, Lord, be through that, be a shining light to all those about us in your precious name. Amen. I'm Pastor Schulze, and goodbye now until next week.